I'll draw your attention to our three prayer quilts today. After service, they'll be out on the table for you to tie a knot, say a prayer, and sign the card. Now, as we enter into a time of prayer, sometimes you may wonder, why do we pray together? Like, why does Carol or the other hostess stand up there and lead a prayer? Why don't we just sit and have a moment of prayer? Well, I was thinking about that, and I thought, maybe it's because sometimes when you are praying or you need to pray, you just can't think of the words. And so it's helpful when somebody else has prepared a prayer and you can listen to it, let it generate some thoughts in you, and then be able to pray afterwards. I know I have sometimes challenges when I try to pray, even sometimes when I'm up here doing the Lord's Prayer, and that totally blanks out of my head. And I've been doing that for, 43 years. So let me assist you a little bit and hear the prayer that I came up with. Lord, we praise you for all that you give us each minute of the day, that you give us regardless of our deservedness, thankfulness, or ability to comprehend it, but you have trust in us to be worthy. Your power is mighty and love unconditional, and your confidence in us inspires confidence in ourselves. Thank you for the supports we have to guide us through the wilderness. We pray for those people whose wilderness is struggling in difficult times, that you use us as a measure of comfort, but also to display your love. Those people's wildernesses may be fear, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, poverty, but allow us to be their support in that wilderness. Even though we know you're always with us, we pray that at the times when we feel lost and have forgotten, that you remind us and give us your voice and your presence. That in those dark moments, we can see your light and through you act in your name. And when we've experienced the light and sunshine and gloriousness of a great minute or a day or a week, that you remind us that you brought it and that we remember to thank you more than just today, but over and over. And now let's send up our own personal prayers. And now let's say that prayer together that Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So when you hear the scripture this morning, tell me if it does not take you back to a time in your life when your mom or dad looked at you and just like, can't you understand what I'm saying? The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, is it because we have no bread? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? The word of God for the people of God.
Well, this Lent, we're traveling in the wilderness, and this is the fifth Sunday, and we're still there. Now, the first 4 weeks, Pastor Sherry and I, we've talked about temptation, denial, loneliness, and regret. And I personally can add my own words to that list of times I've been in the wilderness, and I'm guessing each one of you can as well. Today, though, we're going to look at hunger. Now, when we hear about hunger, we usually think about physical hunger, and we usually think about the world, a lack of food. Because in an affluent community like Brighton, sometimes for some of us, it's difficult to appreciate physical hunger. So what I want to know is, anybody here either intentionally or unintentionally gone hungry for more than just a couple hours? Raise your hands high so I can see them. All right, there are some of you who have experienced that physical hunger. Now, see, I was raised by my mom back in the 60s and 70s in a single-parent household. And I put this slide up. It's spaghetti, and I'll explain why. Mom always made sure that my brother and sister and I, she always made sure we were fed. But some dinners were just like this one up on the screen. Now, that is spaghetti with oil and garlic sauce. And I'll explain to you how to make it. It's really easy. If you're just taking up cooking, it's simple. You heat up, don't burn, heat up a little bit of oil in a pan with some garlic crushed in it, and then you boil your spaghetti. And when that spaghetti's done and ready to be drained, you take some of the water out of that pan, out of the spaghetti pan, and put it into the pan with the oil and garlic. Strain the spaghetti, put the spaghetti in a bowl, and you pour the oil and garlic sauce over the spaghetti. That was a meal when I was growing up. I didn't know that that was a side dish until I was much older. Because the goal there was, even though this didn't have a lot of nutritional value, it filled our stomachs. So we never went to bed hungry. See, it was simple, it was inexpensive, we could fix it if mom was working. And I didn't know what we didn't have, because mom never complained. She made sure that we were filled. She did the best with what she had. And when we look at the scripture for today, we're probably initially thinking the same thing as the disciples. Is Jesus talking about physical hunger, since we don't have enough in the boat with us? I don't know about you, but it's remarkable to me when we hear those questions that Jesus asks. It's because the disciples start out wondering if Jesus is talking about bread and whether or not they have enough in the boat with them. And this is after they've been fed and watched other people be fed by Jesus. Not once, mind you, but twice. In Mark 6:30 through 44, it tells a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He did that with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was it. And there were women and children too. So think of double that number being fed. And you know what? Here's the other amazing part. There were 12 baskets of leftovers. And then later on, shortly in Mark 8:1-9, Jesus feeds 4,000 men and women and children again. He did that with 7 loaves and just a few small fish. And again, there's an abundance of leftovers, 7 baskets this time. Now, I want you to remember, Mark 8 is what we're reading from today. So it happens just shortly after Jesus has fed 4,000 plus. And for whatever reason, the disciples have lost track of that. It should be fresh in their mind. They just experienced it. And yet they've forgotten. And it's just been a short while. And I think part of the reason that happens is they were still in the wilderness, just as we are. Now, I'm going to remind you, because the disciples needed to be reminded, Jesus fed thousands, not just once, but twice. And to top it off, there were lots and lots of leftovers. It's almost like going to a United Methodist potluck. And all the containers that are filled after everyone has had all that they needed to eat. And I want to share something that you may not be aware of or had ever thought about, but the number of baskets has significance. There are 12 and 7 in the 2 different stories, and those 2 numbers signify completeness, wholeness. And when you look at it a little bit further, the 12 baskets of leftovers, that's 1 for every 1 of the tribes of Israel. That's a basket of leftovers for every one of the disciples. And in the second story of the feeding of the 4,000 plus, there's seven baskets left over. It sounds like it's enough for every day of the week. So we never go physically hungry. And yet, just like the disciples, even though we know there's enough, we still hunger. And see, because they had been fed physically just as we are, but then that hunger that remains is a different kind of hunger. And it's what Jesus is getting to in today's scripture, and it still applies today for each of us. We have a deep spiritual hunger. Now, at the time of this story, the disciples were traveling with Jesus across the Sea of Galilee, and this time there was no storm. There was no Jesus walking on the water. They were just going from place to place as they did. And it seemed so simple, right? Except they were hungry, just like us, but they were spiritually hungry. Now, Jesus in this reading gives them some advice about avoiding the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. And yet again, as Bill pointed out, they misunderstand what Jesus was talking about. I firmly believe that Jesus facepalmed a lot. Really, guys? I'm not lecturing you about not bringing bread. And as Bill pointed out, we advise and guide our children. And they don't get it all the time. And yet again, the disciples, they don't get it. But their answer to Jesus really isn't the whole truth, is it? They had a loaf of bread in the boat. And yet their response was, he's upset because we forgot to bring bread. Wait a minute, which is it? Is there bread in the boat or isn't there? Did they forget they had it? Were they holding back, seeing where it would go? Were they trying to avoid blame for forgetting to bring the bread? I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment, but when you look at what Jesus' focus, his sole focus was on their spiritual well-being, and seeing that they were being fed in their souls. And he was doing that through the right kind of teachings. This hunger that the disciples had, we have the same thing, and it's a spiritual hunger. And we can see what they were going through and experience it. The wilderness is our looking for something to sustain us, but not just in our stomachs, but in our souls, because that's where the hunger is deepest. We should be hungering for the right things, but we're falling for yeast of those trying to manipulate us, trying to control us, trying to get between us and Christ. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, how are we being fed? And as I said, Jesus warned the disciples about bad yeast. Now, in Jesus' time, unlike today, yeast was viewed as a symbol for evil. Now, for those of you who don't bake, yeast is a required ingredient for leavened bread. And because all it takes is a little bit of yeast to spread through the dough, and that's what makes it rise up and get bigger. And so I'll read you the technical terms. Here's the scientific terms. Yeast causes fermentation and expansion of the dough or batter. And there's this whole chemical process that is going on. YouTube it, there's some really cool things you can do with yeast other than baking. Just like yeast, though, all of these false teachings, all of these terrible things that we experience, evil is spreading throughout our lives just as yeast spreads through the ingredients in bread. And see, Jesus was using a simple thing that the disciples would understand to describe that spread of corrupting power that the religious and political authorities had. Now, you may also remember, and if not, I'll tell you, that during Passover celebration, the Jews remove all yeast, all leaven from the household, because when they were fleeing Egypt, they didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise. So they made it quick, and they made it without yeast. So this yeast of the Pharisees and the false teachers is what we would call them today, or Herod, and we'd call him a political leader today. So what? What does that mean to us today? Well, see this loaf? It looks okay, right? It's a little short. Now, I made it in the bread maker with the same basic ingredients that I've done for other loaves. It turned out it's nice and tall. But this one didn't quite make it. And if I were to pass it around, it's like a brick. And so, same basic ingredients, but it turned out different. The yeast wasn't quite right. The other ingredients may not have worked correctly. And that's what we have to watch out for. I mean, too many ways today, bad yeast tempts us. And we become deaf to the gospel. I mean, just think about all those things bombarding you. Everybody has a phone in their pocket or a computer at home or other device. You turn it on, the first thing you get hit with is an ad. And you can hit the little X box and it goes away until you go to the next page and three more pop up. So that we're constantly being battered with advertising. Another one is public opinion, and sometimes public opinion becomes our opinion. We don't care about the facts. We care about what that person said, and we're not going to figure out if they're a little bit heavy and bad yeast. There's popular things that are going on that separate us from the gospel, separate us from Christ, and yet we still partake of them. We all do it. These are the things that undermine our lives with Christ. Now, if you use good ingredients, the right ingredients, it changes things. Spiritual practices for us are examples of good ingredients. The ingredients on the screen, those are all you need to make bread. Now, those quantities are not correct. For those of you who have baked bread, that would come out a little bit damp. There's too much water. And only one cup of flour. But it doesn't take, as you can see, much yeast to get it done. So for us, our yeast is our spiritual practices. Now, during Lent, I know a number of you have picked up this book, Pauses for Lent. It's a daily devotional that we've been using for the last 4 weeks. If you haven't picked it up, there's a few left on the back table. There's still a couple weeks left in this Lent season until we get to Easter. You can join in that reading and be part of that spiritual practice. How many of you receive the daily emails from Pastor Sherry with a daily devotional? Wasn't the one today amazing for those of you who read it? I wrote it. For those of you who haven't read it, so we'll get to that in a minute. So that's another way that you can have a spiritual practice during the season of Lent. So if you're not getting those emails, you can just send it, you can go to the church website and find a way to do that. Find somebody and tell them, I want them. You can find me and I'll make sure you get them. And they'll be emailed to you. But that's a way that people are connecting every day during this Lenten season to a spiritual practice. There's groups that meet throughout the week. Some that meet year-round, others that are meeting just for Lent. But it's another way to connect with Christ and others during the Lenten season. It's another spiritual practice we can be involved in. And one that's connected to today's message on hunger. You can actually do a spiritual practice based on becoming hungry. It's called fasting, for those of you who are not familiar with that word. And what fasting is you give up eating for a specific period of time. And during that time, you focus more on your spiritual practices, prayer, for example, doing service for others. And it can be a few hours. It can be a day, 24 hours. Over the years, our youth have done a 30-hour famine. Has anyone ever connected with that and gone 30 hours? It can be a challenge. And it's also usually something that when you're at the end, you break it with communion, which is the other sacrament. We saw baptism earlier. The other sacrament is communion. And so after you've gone through a fast, there is a meal. And if you can make it a holy meal, it's even more meaningful. But during that time, you're feeling physical hunger, but it's connecting you spiritually. Now, if you want to know more about spiritual practices and different things you can do, you can see Pastor Sherry, you can see myself, Deacon Loretta, and we'll be happy to talk with you about that. But let's go back to Jesus and the disciples and our story today. See, the disciples, yet again, much as we do, they focus on the shortage. whereas Jesus focuses on the abundance. See, the disciples, and we've seen them too, they saw miracles. We've seen miracles, and yet still we doubt. They doubted. They were acting like they didn't even know who Jesus was. They were acting like outsiders. They didn't understand what Jesus meant. So he reminds them yet again. And I wonder if they did understand at that point. And see, Jesus wasn't upset with them for getting bread. That's not what his concern was. He was concerned that they didn't understand. And see, here's the thing. He was with them on that boat. Jesus was going to provide for all their needs. They've seen Jesus' power at work, and yet they forget who he is. There's a symbolism. When you look at the first part of this passage, it says they brought a loaf with them, but then later on they told Jesus, he's upset. They ask him, is it because we brought no bread? How do you reconcile those two things? Well, there's some symbolic ways to look at that. When they talk about the one loaf, it could be a symbolic reference to Jesus. Whereas a loaf of bread fills our physical needs, Jesus, as he said in John 6:35, Jesus declared this, "I am the bread of life." See, like the disciples, we hunger for Jesus, and Jesus offers us the bread of life. See, God provides everything for the disciples, for our needs, if we but trust in God. The question, do you not yet understand? See, the disciples' weaknesses, is it really any different than ours? Misunderstanding, fear, all this bombardment we're getting, everything fighting to separate us from Christ, but we need to continue to follow him because that is how we remain strong. That is how we remember why we are here. Joy Jordan Lake, in her book, Why Jesus Makes Me Nervous, tells us this, holiness, real holiness, the kind Jesus presents, is not about chains or checklists, but hunger. Now, this question, Mark writes quickly. I have shared that before. This is a short gospel and it moves fast. So Mark really doesn't tell us the other part of the story. If you turn to Matthew 16:12, I'm going to make you feel a little bit better about this question. This is what Matthew 16:12 tells us. Then they, that being the disciples, understood that he, Jesus, was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They finally got it. But it didn't answer the question of what did they hunger for, what do we hunger for, and what we have to watch out for. Because if you're not hungry for God, you're probably full of yourself. I'll let that sit for a moment. Think back. Could be recent, could have been years ago, where there was a time where you said, because I know, I'll admit to it, I've done it where I say, oh, I got this. That God thing, I don't really need that to succeed in business. It's all going good. Then I get further away because things continue to go well, and I start saying that I'm not sure I need that connection. I've got all my friends, I've got things good. I'm safe. Everything's taken care of. And I get further and further away. And unfortunately, what pulls us back a lot of times is a crisis. And we don't walk. We run back because we got to get there quick. We had gotten separated from Christ, separated from what we needed in our life. And we run back to it with hope, with pain, with not understanding, but turning again to Christ, who is the bread of life, who can make all that difference in our life. We just need to believe and follow. And so throughout this Lent, we've been giving you challenges related to these different words that we've been covering each week. And so this week, it's about hunger, and we were looking at the yeast of the Pharisees and the and of Herod. Here's what I want you to do. This is a metaphor, as this whole talk has been. Look at the ingredients that are part of your life, those things that are getting poured into your bowl. And here's what I want you to do. Look at them. Really take a hard look and say, no, there's some bad ingredients. There's some things that shouldn't be in there. And start off small. Get rid of one of them. And stop doing what that bad ingredient is causing you to do. And then, because you never take away something bad without adding something good, find a spiritual practice. Find a way to change something in your life to put that good ingredient back in your bowl to help you make a good loaf of bread. That when you eat it, you are filled not just from your physical hunger, but from your spiritual hunger. That is my prayer for you. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our friend, our Savior, you are the bread of life. As we go through our days, we sometimes turn down the wrong path. We get lost in the wilderness. And the deeper we go, the harder it is to get out. Yet all the while, you are with us. You are right beside us. You are in our boat. You are everything we need. We just need to recognize it. We need to open our eyes and realize what it is your focus is. It's not on our physical hunger. No. You're focused on filling us spiritually, making us whole, so that we may be your disciples. Guide us, we pray. Amen.